Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again to Circles of Change. It's always a pleasure to do a sashay right over into the creativity and music space, and really a pleasure to welcome Tom Chapin, contemporary folk musician, to the line. How are you this morning, Tom?
Hey, hi, Doc. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I couldn't be... How much fun is this going to be? Because my husband and I realized this morning that actually we had attended two of your concerts when our kids were young in Vermont.
Oh, my gosh.
We brought teddy bears and everything so they could hold them up and do the dance as you sang some of those songs.
Oh, my goodness. That's great. Well, that shows I've been doing this for quite a while, and I'm looking forward to coming your way.
Absolutely. Exactly. In fact, for our listeners, this is to set the stage for Tom's arriving in Tucson a week from tomorrow on the 4th of March. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. Let me do an introduction. First, Tom is a singer, songwriter, guitarist. And his career spans 5 decades, 22 albums, 3 Grammy Awards, acting on Broadway, and extensive work on both films, radio, and obviously television. In other words, creativity is in his DNA, coming from quite a line of talented musicians, writers, and painters that continues to expand, in fact, in the generations that are now following Tom. As a music maker, he's maintained 2 long and productive parallel careers, both as a highly respected contemporary folk artist and a pioneer in the field of children's music, in other words, insightful, heartfelt songcraft and charismatic live performances with enduring personal warmth. And for 5 years, in fact, in the 70s, Tom hosted the Emmy and Peabody Award-winning ABC children's series Make-A-Wish. And as you're going to get a sampling of today, we're going to play some of his music. In the event you're not familiar with his work, his contemporary folk lyrics resonate regardless of age or time. He's currently a resident of Rockland County, New York, and Tom is also a philanthropic leader, being on the board of Why Hunger, an organization founded by his older brother and celebrated fellow singer-songwriter, the late Harry Chapin. So again, welcome to our show.
Well, what a delight. Thank you. I sound like I'm sound like a eulogy.
All it is I'm firing you up for Act 3, Tom, or however numbers there are. Well, I love, when I was reading your background, the fact that, you know, you got involved in doing this children's show, and around that time someone said, you really should do a children's album. I would have thought it was kind of one before the other, but tell us that story, and perhaps maybe even the voices in your head saying, nah, I don't know if I want to do an album about ducks and chickens or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. When I did it, my TV show was in the early 70s, yeah. And I had stepchildren who were a little older, but I didn't have any of my own children. Mm-hmm. And then once I had my own kids, Abigail and Lily, and began to realize they got to be 6 and 8, and they'd outgrown at that point Raffi, the little kid.
Oh,
music.
Yeah, that's right.
It was wonderful for 2- and 3-year-olds, but when you get to be 6-year-old, the world is trying to impinge upon you to watch Britney Spears, mm-hmm. or whoever it is this week, or Lady Gaga. But in those days, it was, I forget, don't even know who it was. And I thought, boy, there's not a lot of music for this age, because they're too old for, as you said, you know, 7 little duckies,
right.
and they're too young really for rebellion and love songs, which is what the radio is throwing at you.
Sure,
and pop music is. And I thought it'd be fun to try to write a recording that was that fit this age, but more important was kid friendly and adult safe, because right. This is the last time that you and I as parents or grandparents listen to the same thing your kids listen to.
That's really true. In fact, how many of us would say, oh, could we just please turn off that recording? I've heard it now so many times. But that really becomes, you know, the toe-tapping type music.
The thrust for us was to try to make it really very clear enough for kids, and with a clear idea for each song. But musical enough with enough interesting ideas and stuff, so the parents, they just didn't get tired of it. And if the best of all worlds, that they might start a conversation. And now there's 12 CDs. The newest one's called Give Peas a Chance.
I love that
about
piece.
Good food and the good earth. And I never expected this to be a career move, really. It was like I thought, maybe I should write a record. And so I got together with some friends of mine, John Forster and Michael Mark and John Colbert. I live in the New York area, and so I'm have access like you do in Nashville or LA or some of the big music places to really wonderful musicians. And we wrote the first album, The Family Tree. It won a bunch of awards, and people started asking me to do concerts. And so, as you mentioned earlier, I had these two parallel careers.
Well, and I tell you, the concerts not only was, of course, the singing and the songwriting, but also the variety of the music instruments that you brought. Tom, of course, people know you, of course, as a guitar player and also a banjo player. But I know I recall watching a didgeridoo that you played. A didgeridoo and a song to match with, you know, this
what
stuff.
Is a didgeridoo? Actually, I a few years back, I was at a festival, and this guy came up and says, "My name is Dr. Didge. I play the didgeridoo, and I'm going to give you one because you've done more for didgeridoos in America." You know, it's one of these crazy things. But I play guitar and banjo primarily, and also auto harp in concert. Mm-hmm. And but we did write a song about the didgeridoo for my Around the World and Back Again record, and so I had to learn how to play didgeridoo. So it was cool.
Tom, what's it like growing up in a large family where you've got so many talented creative artists around you? I mean, is it one of you just kind of getting swept in the flow? I mean, were there ever any periods of, gee, I don't know if I could do it as good as he or she could?
Well, it's all of that. My dad was a jazz drummer. My mom worked in publishing for a long time, but her father was a writer, and Kenneth Burke, and my other grandfather was a painter. As a kid, you didn't, you know, I didn't know I was going to be a basketball player you know, or whatever. But what you end up doing was the thrust in my family really was to find something in the creative arts that you spend a life at.
That's right,
as opposed to a career. You know, it's a life.
Exactly, life. Well, and with that extent, we'd like to play a couple of your cuts. I'd like to start with the song "Hearts on the Road." So we'll cue that up and then let you tell us a little bit about that. So Tony, let's play that song. I got to remember I'm interviewing you, because otherwise I'm just going to play your music straight through. I love it. Well, obviously that's a testimonial to your own life, right?
It is, and it's about being on the road, and your wife and kids are home, and you're thinking about partly being a little sorry for yourself, and partly thinking about the folks at home and how they're feeling. And that's actually a tune I had for a number of years. I was doing a show called Pump Boys and Dinettes in Detroit on the road with Maria Muldaur and Sean Colvin.
Great.
And the piano player was a guy named George Clinton, not the guy from the Funkadelics, but another George Clinton who does movie music style. And we started writing stuff together, and we wrote this song, and I never liked the lyric, which I was supposed to be doing. He wrote the music.
Right.
And then years later, I pulled it out and said, "This is a great song," and I finished it and sent it to him, and he went, "I forgot we did that. It's great."
See, there's one of my circles of change examples, is that you pull things back into your life, and even if you complete them, as you mentioned here, or you reshape them in a different way, it catches the wave again, doesn't it?
It does. You know, that is the creative idea, that you sometimes what you're working on doesn't kind of jive with where you are. But years later, or a week later, or, you know, whatever, 30 years later, you look back and go, "Oh, look, this is interesting." And, of course, I had a grandfather who's a painter, who was a wonderful painter. And we always cringed when he went back to try to fix one of his paintings because it was too much. It was like, no, it's great. Leave it alone. Don't do that, Grandpa. You know? So it depends. You have to do the right thing. But in this case, it worked very well. I was
That's
very happy.
Great. Well, Tom, you've also mentioned, of course, now how many children then of your own you've got?
I have John and Jessica, who are my stepchildren,
yep.
And Abigail and Lily with my wife, Bonnie. And, mm-hmm. And now we have three grandchildren.
Three grandchildren.
Miles, and Max and Myra Jean.
Oh, gosh,
downside.
I can imagine.
I love them, and actually I've written songs for each of them,
yeah.
But they are living in Los Angeles, and we are in the East Coast. So,
well, then you get to be coast to coast, and you're on the hearts on the road then to go visit them.
Exactly.
Well, I have a picture, by the way, of this next song as you are actually telling not bedtime stories, but singing a special song to your kids. So, Tony, let's play this one. It's called Not on the Test.
To sleep now, third grader of mine. The test is tomorrow, but you'll do just fine. It's reading and math, forget all the rest. You don't need to know what is not on the test. Each box that you mark on each test that you take, remember your teachers, their jobs are at stake. Your score is their score, but don't get all stressed. They never teach anything not on the test. The school board is facing.
I love it. The school board is facing. So this was a son or a daughter that was in third grade?
Actually, it was not neither at this point.
Okay.
But my friend John Forster and I were writing a song for National Public Radio about the testing in schools.
Oh yeah.
And the whole idea of how instead of having music and art and things you love best, they're not in your school because they're not in the test. And the whole kind of corporatization of education, public education, it's had enormous resonance. And if any of your listeners want to see a video of it, there's a website called notonthetest.org.
I love it. Yeah.
And you can go on it, and there's a whole lot of information about why this kind of education is not the best for our kids. And or just go to my website, tomchapin.com, and you can search around and find
it. So that's where I wanted to mention, obviously, that there's also Tom Chapin the Advocate in amongst all of this, isn't there? A lifelong venture of yours.
Well, what's happening, first of all, if you grow up with folk music, and my brothers and I heard the Weavers at Carnegie Hall when I was 12, and Harry was 14, and Steve was 11, you grow up in folk music, somehow that propels you into the political world a little bit, that you get asked to do benefits for causes you believe in. And I've done that my whole life, and as I've gotten older, I've sort of picked and chosen what the things that me as a citizen are concerned about. And one of them is education, one is the environment, and one, of course, is hunger, which my brother Harry was the incredible advocate for, and Why Hunger is the organization he founded 37 years ago, and I've been on the board ever since. And so that's something that, you know, and these days we're feeding, it's more important than ever. There are more hungry people in America now than when Harry was alive. And because of and I think it's something like a quarter of our children go to bed hungry every, and this is a country that can feed itself 12 times over, 15 times over. So anyway, it's a long, involved thing, but anybody interested in that can go to whyhunger.org. And there's lots of stuff and we work with local food banks and organizations and all over the country. And it's a wonderful thing. I think, and to my mind, it's some of the best things that I do. I work with, as Pete Seeger used to say, people with live hearts, live eyes, and live minds.
Don't you love it? And that continued web that you've woven over these years. I mean, you've mentioned Tom Forsyth a couple times, and now your buddies that you're off, musically connected with, that it's this idea you've had these two parallel careers, Tom, both, you know, focused on children as well as the storytelling that more resonates with adults. You mentioned earlier you never designed that. It just kind of came to you. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's I forget who told me once, but if there's an open door, investigate.
Yeah.
And in sense, and in a creative life, that's what you do. You don't say this is what I do. I wouldn't do that. And so when I was I was a kid, and I was working in a rock and roll band with my brother Steve, and called the Chapins, not the Chapin Brothers at the point.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody offered me the chance to try out for a kids show, and he said, "What do you want to be, Captain Kangaroo? You know, I do this." And I said, "Well, let me check it out." And it turned out to be Make-A-Wish, which was this amazing 5-year run on national television of a really erudite, great kids show, and it actually made my career because a lot of college kids started watching it. It was on Sunday mornings. So, I mean, this is that by way of illustrating that you never know where something's going to bounce. And I've been very lucky to have this career, never sold a million copies of stuff, never had a huge hit record, but I've had this really interesting life and career, and I hope it just keeps going.
Well, I love that you never know when something is going to bounce. So tell me, where are you bouncing the ball right now? Where do you feel you're being pulled right now?
I'm working on a couple of interesting things. Of course, the new family record, Give Peas a Chance, has won a bunch of awards. I'm really thrilled about that, so I'm doing a lot of concerts around that. And I'm coming to your world next week in Tucson to play at a club doing some grown-up songs.
Exactly. In fact, let me tell our listeners, Tom's going to be here in town in Tucson on Sunday, March 4th. The concert is at 7 p.m. at the Plaza Palomino on Swan and Fort Lowell intersection. You can get tickets at Antigone Bookstore, Dark Star Leather, or the Folk Shop for $20 in advance or $25 at the door. And the proceeds are going to benefit the Roger Michaelis Musicians Fund, who, by the way, Tom, you wouldn't know this, was a dear, dear friend of mine from our General Motors car racing days. He befell an unfortunate accident here in town, which people said he'd never survive with, but it was a year ago to the day he actually came on my show and talked about coming back alive again for what had impacted him. Of course, he passed on not too long ago, and they've established this fund to benefit the insurance and medical needs of other musicians. So again, Tom's going to be here next Sunday. It's a great, great connectivity, and I think part and parcel of part of your mission to touch so many people as you do through your careers.
Well, I feel blessed about, first of all, being able to make music. There's something very special. I was asked to give a speech a few months ago to the California Kindergarten Teachers Association.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, sure, they'll pay me money to go to it. And then I said, what am I going to say? And I realized, well, they want me. They don't want an expert. But one of the things, in looking at this, I talked to a speech therapist who said, a song is a container.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, what do you mean a container? Well, when the song's going on, whoever's in earshot is in the same place. And it's a very magical thing, whether it's a classroom, whether it's you singing to two people, or whether it's a convention, or whether it's a concert hall with 10,000 people. That's a very special thing when it's really real people talking to real people, as opposed to, you know, an iPod or listening to a record. It's very different. And so I feel blessed that the world I'm in I'm the leader. It's not like coming to watch the star do his thing. It's really more the folk world of we're all in this together. I'm going to tell stories that hopefully resonate with you, and the songs resonate, and you're going to help me sing them. And I feel like it's a blessed thing that I get to do this.
Exactly. And remembering now watching my kids hold their teddy bears, hold them up in the air and sing with you. Those are also the things of life memories for us all, isn't it? Let's play.
Let me just tell you a quick story.
Sure.
I just got a book deal for one of my songs. John Foster and I wrote this song called Backwards Birthday Party. And I won't sing it to you, but I just got a book deal yesterday from the editor who okayed the deal, when she was a little girl, had a backwards birthday party because of this song. So you never know what the resonance is going to be.
Yes, and who's got you following, and who's going to dust off something they've got in the shelf and say, I know that. In fact, that's great. With that, it's a perfect segue then to the final clip I've suggested. It's a song you wrote called We Will Adjust. So, Tony, let's play that one.
Took a walk down Main Street in the pouring rain. The new bank on the corner once again has changed its name. And the market and the drugstore have merged into a chain. This neighborhood just does not look the same. Got a digital camera, got a new cell phone. Though I can't figure out how to download a ringtone. I call and leave a message, my kids send back a text. Things do change, but whatever happens next. Adjust to whatever is thrown at us. We will adjust and do just what we must. We learn to email and T-Bolt without a lot of fuss. We will adjust.
I don't know about you. That is exactly our life, isn't it, across so many different fronts?
Well, it is. That's the first verse. It moves on to talk about our world. You know, the ice caps are melting, the Wall Street's melting too. Gas prices go up and down. What are we to do? But the idea that we'll make it through this. You know, the media is always saying, "Oh, the sky is falling. This is the worst thing. This is the." And of course, it helps them sell airtime.
Right.
But the reality is that America is safer now than it's ever been. And kids growing up, they want you to be so fearful about this and fearful about. But the reality is. You know, and I worry about global warming, and I worry about stuff, but I also feel like the human animal can change its habits, you know. and I'm against all odds, I'm a huge optimist about where we are.
Don't you love it? That's exactly right. And you want to continue on that track for sure. Tom, are there any, now you've mentioned just right before we brought this up, this idea of a book deal. So now we're going to be adding that to your vita as New York Times best-selling author, right?
But it's children's book. It's an illustrated song, but I'm thrilled about because it's a wonderful little story. And also, I'm working on an interesting thing that will probably not be something for the public, but I'm working. There's a book out that's being created, and I'm writing with a wonderful songwriter named Phil Galston, Songs for Autistic Kids.
Oh, lovely.
It's a book that three teachers are putting together for other teachers, for K through like 3 year old, third grade kids who are in the autistic spectrum, and how to deal with their social problems. It's social thinking is the idea, and so we're writing songs that fit each chapter, so that they'll be used in schools and when there's mentoring and that kind of stuff. So it's really been interesting because one of my grandchildren is on that spectrum, and I feel really, and I've met a lot of those kids in my concerts over the years.
Well, and that goes back to that.
Touches.
Yeah, that idea that the song is the container, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and especially music goes in a different way than language does. That's the other side of what I do. How many times have we been at a funeral and people talk and talk and talk, and then someone gets up and sings and the whole place dissolves,
right?
Because music goes in a different place in the human animal. I don't know how to explain it. Mm-hmm. Yip Harburg, who wrote all the Yellow Brick Road and all those things for Dorothy and from Kansas, mm-hmm. He once said, "A song is a connection between music, which is an emotion, and words, which are an idea. And when you connect music, an idea with an emotion, then you have a great song."
That's
and
beautiful.
It works.
So is there ever a day that your mind isn't already turning and churning some new set of lyrics?
Yeah, actually, I'm a amateur, semi-pro photographer, and I love doing. I've gotten into digital photography, and I love the idea that you can have a dark room on your computer.
On your computer, exactly.
Because I used to be, I was always angry that I didn't have time to set up a dark room and learn how to do that. Well, now I can do it on Photoshop.
Don't you love it?
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.